to this episode of Herding Code being recorded on September 12, 2013. Today we're talking to the development team of xsockets.net. So can you guys introduce yourself?
I'm Magnus, Magnus Thor. Thor, as some people tend to say in US. I'm here together with my colleague.
My name is Uffe Björklund, really hard to pronounce in English, probably. And I'm the other half of Team xSockets, and we have been working together for about 4 years now.
So this is something you've been working on for 4 years in Sweden, and what does xSockets.net do?
It's a framework for building real-time applications. When we started it, we aimed to build something that was solving the real-time issues, or the idea was to replace Ajax with WebSockets. But during the years, those 4 years, it has grown into something else. Now it's much more than a real-time framework for web pages. It is something that you can use for any kind of real-time programming.
Yeah, and our goal from the beginning was to, well, just have fun and learn more about HTML5. And we were trying from the beginning to build something that remember you of like MVC and jQuery, since we love those texts. So we thought that everybody should don't have to learn anything new, but use the existing skills, and they should be able to use xSockets.
So your site is really professional, and you've been doing this for a while. Is this a business, or is it an open source thing that you know? Like, what's the model for this?
Today it's a business. We have been doing it for 4 years, as Ulf told you. But since this spring, we're doing xSockets full time. Of course, we are involved with customer projects, but all of those projects we are doing are based on xSockets. There's also a lot of support to the community. So it's a business since this spring, finally.
Important to point out might be that it's free to use, though.
Yeah, so let's get the obvious question out of the way. When people think about WebSockets and .NET and Windows, one of the first things they'll think about is SignalR. So how does this compare and contrast to SignalR?
Yeah, it's a common question. I think we'll receive that question a couple of times each day. And compared to SignalR, we must start and say that we started this 4 years ago, a long time before SignalR was known to me, or I don't think SignalR existed a couple of years ago. And we have since the beginning of our framework been focusing on building real-time or building things on WebSockets. If you look at SignalR, you are forced to use long polling on IIS 7. You need to use Windows 2012 as a server platform to use the WebSocket framework.
I think that there's, of course, benefits both ways. And needless to say, we have great respect for the SignalR guys. We also think that Fleck, Super WebSocket, etc. are interesting .NET projects. So anyone would envy the community around SignalR. So that's a really great benefit with SignalR, I think. And we love the way they handle transports. And I personally like the way they generate the proxy for the JavaScript stuff. But a huge difference between xSocket and SignalR is that we have state by design, and they don't. So once again, the benefit goes both ways, I think. Because those who don't like state say that you lose speed because of it. But we think that our speed is good enough, and we also think that having state is worth it, as we get a clean, easy-to-use programming model with state. And we can still send like 20,000 messages per second in the tests.
Yeah, that's an interesting, I mean, there's different approaches to controllers, the stateful controller, and you see that more in like, you know, desktop persistent application. And when you get into something like this, then it, like, you're going to use it for something like maybe single page application or a long running application. So then keeping that state on the controller simplifies things, right?
Yeah,
definitely. We believe that it's important to be able to filter where you send messages. And when you're building an application, any application really, with real time, we believe that we need state to know who's subscribing to what. And because of this, we can also filter with Lambda expressions to target clients, not only depending on the subscriptions, but also if they have blue hair or pink hair or lives in Boston. So we can do pretty complex stuff targeting who to send that will be, of course, doable with groups, the way SignalR has it, but it will be not nice if you're going to do dynamic expressions and filter who to send to.
When you look at the client-side APIs, the JavaScript API, Ulf mentioned that we love the way they do it in SignalR, the way they generate a proxy for jQuery. We have the similar thing that we wrote a couple of years ago, which is a powerful publish and subscribe pattern that is also aware of the state on the server, on the controller, and you're able to very easily set a property on the controller using the JavaScript API and modify the state. So I think it's a very convenient way of dealing with real-time stuff, because in the world of real-time, I think the state is an important thing. In some way, the state is the time in the real-time perspective. Strange explanation.
Well, okay, but that's one thing that would distinguish you. And then having a more stateful server, would that be fair to say?
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then another thing, it sounds like you don't have a dependency on IIS at all, or?
Since we are running on .NET 4, we are compatible with Mono as well. So we can pretty much run on anything that can run Mono or .NET 4. So we are actually running our server on a Raspberry Pi, where we also host our WebRTC controller. But the most common questions about hosting is like, can we host it on IIS, on Owen, as a Windows service, on Amazon, on Azure? And it's, of course, yes on all those. You can host it in your cell phone if you want to. We have a guy in Dubai running Xsockets on really old hardware and software in the middle of the desert. So yeah, you can probably get it running anywhere as long as you have .NET 4 or Mono.
I've read some interesting posts recently about people doing that kind of thing, having a real-time local server and then using a browser or using whatever as a local client, but just as a way to build a desktop or what looks like a desktop application to the user. You get the instant response and all that, and it's running a local server. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We have some guys, I think, in Russia doing something like that right now on Xsockets.
I think you mentioned long-running tasks earlier, Scott. That is also one of the things that we have in our controllers. You're able to set up long-running, what we call long-running controllers, which is a controller that will work on the server side, send information to the client, subscribing, and taking advantage of all of those things that you mentioned about state, etc. There is also a thing that people have been giving us positive feedback on.
I think another thing, if we're talking architecture, is that we have a plugin framework. We used to have MEF earlier. I love MEF, but we didn't need all the stuff that MEF gave us. So we wrote our own for about a year ago, a little bit more maybe. So that we feel that's a really good thing with Xsockets, that we can build assemblies in both Xamarin, for example, on the Mac, or in Windows with Visual Studio, and then we can just drop them all in the folder running Xsockets, and Xsockets will just pick them up, and you have your plugins installed.
From looking at the API, it looks like it's like you said, you've written your own, but it feels very similar to MEF. So if someone's familiar with MEF, they should be able to jump into your plugin framework pretty quickly, right?
Yeah. As I said, I love MEF, so. When writing our own framework, the inspiration came from MEF. So we just took the things that we think we needed and added some other stuff. But of course, it reminds you of MEF.
Yeah, and I was looking through the server-side API too, and it looks like when you're talking about a controller, you're talking about a base class Xsocket controller that I would derive from. So this has a very similar feel to something like ASP.NET MEC, where there's a base controller class and you have actions on that class. It looks like that's kind of what your server API feels like. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. As Ulf mentioned, we love MVC, ASP.NET MVC. So we thought that would be a good solution. Our idea has been since the beginning to build something called real-time MVC controllers. So that's the idea. And I'm glad to hear that you are having that thoughts about it.
Yes. Of course, the big difference here is you don't do something like return view. You do something like, here's my model object now, dot reply to all, or dot reply and some filtering lambda expression like you were talking about earlier. So that's very interesting. Do you have some sort of routing mechanism to figure out where to send messages? Yeah, okay.
So we have a few extension methods that inside the controller you can say this dot, and you get a lot of options what you can do. And of course you have send only returns it to the client initiating the, if you call it a request. And we have like send to all and send to, where you use a lambda expression. But we also have routing extensions. So we can say route this message to another controller and the event name of that controller. So you can route messages between different controllers or plugins if you will. So that's pretty useful sometimes.
I noticed too that you've got a generic controller that's automatic, that's built in. And so in a lot of the simpler samples, all the code is just JavaScript, and it's using the generic controller then to like, it says it works as a message dispatcher.
The goal has always been that it should be really easy to get started. So when you install XSockets, there is a generic controller, as we call it, as you mentioned, that gets installed with XSockets. So this controller is like a smart dispatcher, so that anything you throw at it, it will throw back to the one subscribing. So it will still know who's subscribing to what. So if you're from your JavaScript API subscribes to some event and then publish on it, you will get it. And you will not get anything that you do not subscribe to. So this is only because, you know, lots of people write JavaScript. They do not know C#. And you can do pretty advanced stuff with only JavaScript and this generic controller, since you can build dynamic publish subscribe patterns.
There's also one thing called channels, which is quite complex. Sometimes you want to make a private instance of a controller. It can be the generic controller that the client want to make a private instance of. And that can be done by using channels. A channel is like a shadow of the original controller. And you can also share this channel with other clients by just passing the unique identity of your channel. And on those channels, you can share your own events, as well as you can pass blobs, etc., from the JavaScript API or from any client. It's a really complex thing, but it can be useful.
Yeah, it's useful if you do not want to write C#, but you still want to have your private channel. Since the generic one, everyone that subscribes to a message there will get it. So the way Magnus described just now, you can get your private channels. So that's nice, but a little bit complex. Still nice.
Yes. Here's what's always fascinated me about WebSockets, and you guys have been doing this a long time. So I know the API has been relatively stable for a number of years, at least I think it has been. But the protocol, the actual ones and zeros that go back and forth, has changed quite a bit since you guys started, right? Has that been a struggle to keep up with?
It has been a nightmare sometimes, but the latest 2 years has been quite stable, I think. The first 2 years was quite hard to catch up and keep up with the change in specs. But I think since we have the RFC, it has been stable. But if you look at the browser vendors, they sometimes do stuff that should have been done earlier because they haven't the correct implementation yet. We have been facing a couple of bugs during those years, depending on the different implementations from the browser vendors. But now it's stable.
Does anyone have any sort of test suite out there that tells you, yes, this browser is implementing WebSockets correctly, or yes, the server is implementing WebSockets correctly?
I think there are a couple of different test suites, but none of those, I think they aren't good enough. They are testing things that should not be tested, and they're testing things wrong. Sometimes they skip things like the origin controls. Yeah. So I think there aren't any good testing frameworks yet for WebSockets. There are test frameworks, but none that I feel confident with. We have our own framework for testing stuff. I think I have spent too much time reading the specifications from IETF. So it's quite a mess. But I think all specifications are a mess now. If you look at HTTP 2.0, if you look at server-side events, it's the same issue with the specification. It's the same issue with the implementations.
Is it, I mean, from point of view of somebody that hasn't done sockets development, is it a pretty difficult API to work with, or is it something that, you know, once pretty quick to pick up?
Yeah, it's quite quick to pick up. The two first versions were very easy to use, but in the RFC they introduced some masking stuff and some control frames and continuous frames. Then it became quite messy and quite hard to work with. But today you have loads of solutions on GitHub or Coplex that you can use for the protocols stuff. If you look at the JavaScript APIs or other APIs, they are quite easy to get to know.
So I noticed you have listed WebRTC support, and I think that's pretty interesting. It's something that I don't hear people talk about a whole lot. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, that's my big interest now. WebRTC is something that I heard of a couple of years ago when I visited a company in Orlando. It enables us to do real-time communication within the browser using peer-to-peer protocols. So you can attach a media stream to a peer connection and broadcast or send the data to other peers. You can have data channels. A data channel is a way where you can send a message from a client to another client page to page, not via a server, or you don't need to involve any middleman in the communication. There is a middleman in the beginning of the communication, which will interchange some signals and make sure that those two clients will find each other. When you have a connection established, you're able to pass data, JSON or string or blobs, using an API that is very similar to the WebSocket API. And when people are talking about WebRTC, they are talking about audio and video streaming, which is a nice thing. You can build a Skype clone or WebRTC thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you have a JavaScript API for this that makes it look easy to use. It's basically you instantiate a xsockets.websocket and off you go.
Yeah. The first thing you do is to point out a peer broker, which takes care of the peer-to-peer connections, the signaling. Then you just tell the peer broker, this is my identity, this is my context. And you can just share this context. And when the context is shared, the broker or xsockets ensures that each client are invited to the context. And then you can do the real-time communication browser to browser using data channels or media streaming. You can have one-to-one or one-to-many, etc.
Might be a really silly question from someone who doesn't know anything at all, but WebSockets are over TCP, right? Is this peer-to-peer, is that still TCP?
It's UDP.
Okay.
It's unreliable. We have been benchmarking WebRTC against WebSockets, and sometimes we see that it can be faster to go via xSockets via the server than passing data using RTC channels. That's probably because it's an early stage in the APIs. But for games or collaborative application over the web, it's a good platform. And if you look at the WebRTC APIs of xSockets, they have the same syntax or semantics as the other APIs. We want to make a complex thing very easy for end users to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like something that you could do with a WebRTC socket is have events like on call, which I guess is someone's calling you, and on accept call. So that's an API that you put together, right? Or
yeah.
So seems good.
It's just like a small experiment. You think if you're interested in WebRTC, there's a NuGet package that contains a full sample of an application where you can call and invite one-to-many users. You will also find it on the web page.
Good. And you have a processing pipeline, which I find interesting too. Switching away from WebRTC now, so
yeah.
back to WebSockets.
As I mentioned before, we have our own plugin framework inspired by MEF. And one thing we added that I do not think that we can do in MEF is that we have an attribute on some of our plugins, some default plugins that we have inside the server. And one of them is this, I don't remember the name of it. You may have it, Scott. This pipeline, XSockets pipeline is the name. So that one has a property that says that it can be overridden. So by default, it will use the one we have written. But if a developer decides to implement the interface by themselves, the server will throw away our plugin and use that one instead.
Oh, I see. This is your rewritable.
Yeah, meaning. Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Okay.
So if it has the rewritable attribute, you can override it. It's just to implement the interface. Idea.
So you'd mentioned a little bit about fallback before. We were talking just recently about sockets and, you know, the support and stuff. Like, what's the fallback support for older browsers?
In the beginning, we had fallback based on CivLite and Flash, but those weren't that popular. So we chose to build a fallback based on MVC. It's a long polling fallback. It's not that brilliant as the SignalR fallback. It fallbacks on the Ajax long polling. We will release a new version of the long polling or an optional fallback, which is a fallback based on Web API, which will give us much better performance compared to the regular MVC controller.
An important thing to point out is that, first of all, it doesn't change anything for the developer. They just add another JavaScript reference, and then they use the JavaScript API as before, and our JavaScript API will handle the fallback. Another thing that people tend to ask is that I don't have MVC. Can I use it anyway? And yes, you can. You can have it inside a WebForms project, or you can set up an MVC project and use it that way, and you can also use it from other hostings, like the Windows service can still fall back to this long poly controller.
Yeah, I think the external API is kind of interesting too. Would it be safe to say this is like a C# WebSocket client?
It's probably an extremely stupid name that has been with us from almost the beginning. So it should probably be named like something like Client API or something. But you're correct, it is a C# client. So you can connect to our server from anything, C# and ASP.NET or Mono.
And PowerShell.
Yes, and PowerShell. And SQL Server compile store procedures and so on. So it's really popular to... We didn't think about it when we wrote it, but then we met some skilled guys at a code camp, and we hadn't really thought about it, how they could use it. But they said, we can't use WebSockets yet, because this was a few years ago, and they had this web shop, and they said, we cannot say to our users that they need Chrome, of course. So they took this C# API, and they implemented it in their backend, and from the backend, I think it was a WebForms backend, they sent real-time messages to XSockets that sent them out again to an administration interface so they could watch what happened at the shop in real time. And we had not thought about that one. So after that, we have seen people using this client API not only for building native apps and stuff like that, but also to like boost the VCF services or ASMX services, etc. They do database polling and such things with this C# API.
Oh, wow. I'm just trying to think, is there anything else crazy that you guys have seen people do with XSockets.net or WebSockets in general?
Yeah, I think Magnus has a story here about a guy on Jamaica.
Yeah, that's quite an interesting story. I think it was almost a year ago after we published our first WebRTC stuff. This guy from Jamaica sent us a couple of emails asking questions around WebRTC. And we gave him a few hints. And after a couple of weeks, maybe a month, we got an email showing a solution where he connected microscopes in labs to an application where lab personnel or doctors could communicate or view the microscope and control the microscopes using a web page. They could also discuss the image that the microscope broadcasted in real time to all of those people involved in the analysis of the pictures. The nice thing there was that they tried to do this with other technologies, but they didn't have the chance to do it because all of those applications they tested relied on an external service, and their network were completely black. They couldn't do any traffic outside of the hospitals, had their own private network. So Skype was not an option. Another similar software weren't an option. So he built this extremely cool application with XSockets and WebRTC. We could not imagine that such things could be built. So it's quite an impressive thing to see. Another thing also is I think Ulf can tell us more about it. It's the guys in the desert doing things on, I think it's Windows CE, I think. Ulf, maybe can you explain?
Yeah, it's not. I was not so happy when he called me up and said that he wanted to run XSockets on Windows CE. That was not fun. but we managed to write him a client, not the complete server, but we wrote him this C-sharp client, so it exists for .NET 2.0. So he runs, he's monitoring the water system of Dubai, and water is kind of important there. So they are in real time monitoring the complete water system and will be able to, when it's done, it's not done yet, to control this water system from a web page. In the beginning, they were supposed to build this huge, huge building with all these people working there and controlling these water pipelines. But it was too expensive. So now they are using XSockets to control the water pipelines. And we think that's really cool and a good sample. And actually, the first project we did on XSockets that we did as a job, I think Magnus can fill you in short on, because that's it's not as useful as the thing in Dubai, but it's extremely cool. So Magnus.
Yes, in the beginning of XSockets, I did some experiments with the Kinect SDK, and I published a video on the web showing a game based on XSockets and HTML5 canvas and the Kinect camera. We built Fruit Ninja for the web, where we connected two clients separated from each other in the world using WebSockets and XSockets, and then you could control the hand on the screen with the Kinect camera. This was something that a couple of guys in the US saw and sent us an email and asked if we could build a virtual lobby by using Kinect cameras and XSockets. So we did. We built a virtual lobby. I think it took us 10 days to build it. It was an awesome project to do as the first shot of XSockets.
What do we do for authentication and authorization with WebSockets in general or with XSockets?
Well, since we have a few events in the controllers, like on client connected and such, so the first thing that happens is that this event gets fired. So if you subscribe to that event, you will in there be able to do some kind of verification. We have both for if you run VSS, you can have certificates, but you can also have forms authentication. So we can actually read the cookie, and we have samples of how we can get the whole that identity that originally came from the IIS and verify that this user is the correct one.
Hmm. Yeah, that sample's up on GitHub. That's interesting to look at. All right. Questions from Twitter. I think a few people asked about hosting with Owen, or what do you think of Owen?
Yeah, we haven't such an option, but we haven't shipped any packages yet for hosting in Owen. It's possible, and it's something that we have done. I think Owen is a great ID, but I don't think I can say if it's good or it's bad, or if I can recommend it. I think it's a good ID, and it has its place, but we have pretty much often been using IIS.
Another interesting example you have is called While You Were Gone. What's that one about?
Well, that's about the issue with WebSockets is that if even if you have a single page application, you will sooner or later have some kind of state where the user is between pages. So what do we do with the messages that possibly arrived while you were gone? So we implemented like a not that advanced, but a good enough queue system that you can do add some extra lines in your controller. So in the disconnect event, you will say, okay, why, when I am offline, subscribe for these events for me. And when you get back online, you say, okay, what has happened while I was gone? So give me the events. And then it will publish through time. So if you are away for like, I think the default time is 30 seconds, but you can override that if you want to. So if you were gone less than 30 seconds, the server will store every message you should have been getting while being online. So probably not a scenario that banks will use, but fair enough and good enough for this simple scenario where you just want to, you know if anything happened when you're gone. And that will be pretty advanced to implement yourself. So we have that kind of small service for our developers if they want to use it.
I just wanted to ask you guys if there was anything else interesting that we might have missed, or also if there's anything coming up where people might see you speaking or doing some demonstrations or hackathons, anything like that.
Well, first of all, one thing I think we have not mentioned is a feature that we will ship in, I think, 3.0.
Yeah.
And that would be that we can cluster servers. And this really means that if you have a huge, huge, huge system with hundreds of thousands of users, you can just configure XSockets to cluster the servers.
Now, how does that work? Is there like a backplane communicating between them then?
They will actually all be siblings. So there will be no backplane and no master. They will all be siblings knowing of each other. So when server A gets a message, it will send it to all clients that are subscribing on that server. And it will also send a message to the sibling servers. And they will do the same thing. They will only publish to their clients.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because that's a difference from SignalR. If you want to scale, you need to set up a backplane, and they have support for Redis and Azure Service Bus and SQL Server but it's something else to set up. So that's pretty interesting. You've got that just all siblings that all kind of coordinate then.
And your other question was about hackathons and speeches and such. We will be in the States in November for the Desert Code Camp in Arizona.
I can help you out, Olaf. It's Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, great.
we'll be in the States in November, I think, for a couple of weeks.
And if NDC London wants to have us, we will be there as well, but no answer yet, so maybe not.
Okay, great. If people are interested in learning more to get started, then you have the site, xsocket.net, and you've got a lot of great videos and tutorials and everything. Is that kind of the best place to get started? xsockets.net with an S, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the videos, is a great start.
Yeah, I watched through several. There are a lot of, you know, 2-3 minute videos, and they're very, very to the point. And, so yeah, those were great.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for being on the show.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
And we'll be sure to put links to your website and a lot of these examples on the show notes so people can check those out. And that will finish up this episode of Herding Code. Thanks for listening.